Hello there, boxing fans around the world. Thank you for joining me once again here on Talk and Fight for another episode of Boxing News Today, where I'm going to go around the world finding all the news fit to print for you so that you don't have to enjoy your coffee, enjoy your beer. Let's enjoy these stories as I find them one by one. Of note, let's start off in Saudi Arabia, where there is a variety of activity taking place with respect to and surrounding the Anthony Joshua Francis Ngannou fight. As everyone who knows, who's been listening to me, I think that Francis Ngannou is a mean, lean fighting machine, and he weighed in 20 pounds heavier than Anthony Joshua for their clash in Saudi Arabia. It's going to be a doozy for sure. Everyone's looking forward to it. But, in one of those, let's listen to the pundits and hear what they have to say, because they know more than me. But the point of the matter is I've got David Haye's comments here. Former two-division world champ David Haye, courtesy of Daniel McGlinchey, over at boxnews24.com. He says that David Haye believes Francis Ngannou's MMA background gives him a psychological advantage against Anthony Joshua in their fight in Riyadh. Haye feels that the way Ngannou was sizing Joshua during their face-off at the weigh-in understands he could crush him if it's an open rules fight, allowing him to use his MMA tactics, and there's no question, and pointed out a few of Joshua's glaring weaknesses along the way. It's certain that Ngannou would stop the fragile-chinned Joshua with one of his mighty blows, wearing forearms gloves, or tackle him to the mat, pound the stuffing out of him till the match was halted. But that's not to be the case, since it's a boxing match after all. So unfortunately for Ngannou, he can't use his cage tactics, so he'll have to figure out how to take advantage of Joshua's weaknesses. And there are two glaring ones that jump right out of the way. These are, according to, as I said, boxingnews24.com, not me. As most fans know, Joshua can't take a punch, is mentally weak when he gets pressured, and has stamina as bad as an asthmatic. When he gasses out, he stays tired for three or four rounds and is highly vulnerable during that time. Wow. He's gone in, what many people feel is the best heavyweight in boxing, and on many people's scorecards, won the fight, said Anthony, regarding the kind of fight against Joshua. So Anthony Joshua knows that. Anthony Joshua has got a heads up. Fury at the stage of his career is not the best heavyweight in boxing. He never was. Still, Ngannou proved against Fury he's a better heavyweight than him, and showed that he's on top in the top four in the world. Wow, pretty heavy-duty words there. The only guys that stand in Ngannou's way are Joshua, Alexander Usyk, and Zhilai Zhang. Wow. Once again, he isn't just an MMA fighter, continues David Haye. He's a legitimate world-level boxer who was able to win many rounds and knock down Tyson Fury. That, I think, is what's going to get Anthony Joshua to rise to the occasion, said Haye. Now, let's bolt onto that what Eddie Hearn had to say, courtesy of Robbie Bannatyne or BoxingNews24.com. Matchroom promoter Eddie Hearn states that he saw fear in Francis Ngannou during his face-off with Anthony Joshua at the weigh-in for their 10-round contest. Hearn feels that Ngannou is out of his comfort zone going up against Joshua, who is light years ahead of him in experience in the squared circle. Without a doubt, Ngannou is sporting an 0-1 record. If the moment is getting to Ngannou, Hearn postulates that he could gas out quickly and be at Joshua's mercy in the second half of their 10-round contests. I will add, that's if Joshua gets that far, because I believe Ngannou is going to knock him out early. Anyway, Joshua versus Ngannou will meet at the Kingdom Arena, as I've all told you, in Riyadh. And AJ is the favorite for betting fans out there. And I get to that aspect in one brief moment. So said Hearn, I'll be honest with you. Oh, so he's got to qualify that. So in other words, when he speaks with us in other times, he's not honest with us. In this case, he says, I'll be honest with you. Thank you, Eddie. I saw a nervous Francis Ngannou. He's not in his comfort zone. I would be petrified if I was Francis Ngannou. Yeah, make me laugh. If Hearn believes that Ngannou will listen to his comments and fight half-heartedly on Friday, he's sadly mistaken, says the writer. He's not suddenly going to be afraid to let his hands go just because Hearn saw fear in his eyes during the face-off. If anything, that fear could make Ngannou fight harder in the first 3 to 4 rounds, as stated. And that could be bad for Joshua if his chin betrays him again, as stated previously. So said Hearn, we can say that Francis Ngannou is strong and punches hard. He does all those things. Ask yourself this question. Who would you rather fight? Let's say you had to go in there on Friday night. Who would you rather fight? You have to choose Ngannou because you know you're going to get peppered by AJ and smashed to pieces. With Ngannou, at least you have a guy who hasn't done that often. So I feel like Ngannou knows he's in for it. What the heck? Go for it, buddy. This is the guy who defended Conor Benn, who, by the way, might be fighting Manny Pacquiao. That's interesting, isn't it? Anyway, being nervous up there doesn't really mean anything as to what's going to happen on Friday, Hearn continued. There's still going to be all the things he can be, which is strong, dangerous, tough, resilient. But Joshua should be schooling this guy. Nervousness does mean something if you've got a fighter who has quit in them. And some would argue that Ryan Garcia is a prime example of that, with the way he quit against Gervonta Davis, says this particular writer. But Ngannou, who's never shown the tendency to let fear govern his behavior in combat sports, and he's unlikely to start now. I believe he will, said Hearn. We just have to be smart, switched on, and get the job done. Of course, says the writer, Hearn could be wrong, given that Joshua has shown himself to be a mental basket case in the past. It's not a secret that the slick talk and British promoter had to pull him back to the elementary stages of career, matching him against 3 consecutive ham and eggers after his 2 defeats against Oleksandr Usyk. Man, point made. All right, but to put icing on the cake, let's go to someone who knows everything about boxing. That would be rapper Drake from Toronto. And as the clock ticks down towards this particular fight, and you all are wondering where to put your money, if you want to follow Drake's example, he has given fans an indication who will win. He has put his money, a whopping 500,000 quid, it's 500,000 British pounds, on Ngannou to emerge victorious. And if Ngannou wins, by the way, it will bank Drake nearly £1.5 million. Wow. But apparently Drake has somewhat of an unlucky streak for the people who's betting on. The infamous Drake curse apparently has seen numerous athletes and teams fall victim to the rapper's predictions. And if history proves anything, is that Joshua will emerge victorious instead. So, and we'll see what goes, eh? All right. Speaking of unexpected results, Steve Roll has got quite the unexpected loss. Former middleweight title challenger Stephen Bang Bang Butler over in Montreal, sporting a 34-4-1 record now, destroyed Steve Roll's 22-4, 12 knockouts, in the first round at the casino in Montreal. It was a sold-out event, actually, the latest in Ontario-Quebec rivalry. Series of shots crumpled Rolls on the ropes, and the bout was stopped after 65 seconds. Wow. Unbeaten super middleweight, Osles El Tornado Iglesias, 10-0, scored a first-round knockout over Marcelo Carceres, 32-7-1. A left hook to the head finished Carceres. In a clash for the vacant WBC female heavyweight title, Vanessa LePage-Jonis, 7-1, 2 knockouts, scored a 10-round split decision victory over Abril Vidal, 10-2, 4 knockouts. The scores were 97-93, 97-93 for LePage-Jonis, and 96-94 for Vidal. One other bout to mention here. Unbeaten 2016 Olympic junior welterweight, Arthur Bayashlanov, 14-0, 12 knockouts. Knocked out Christian Palma with a body shot in round number 3 at 3 minutes. Right at the tail end, I suppose. Good stuff. Other victors were Luis Santana, Mehmet Elnyal, and Jonon Orobio. Wilkins Mathieu all won their fights in Montreal. Let's go down to New Orleans, or Nolens, as it's pronounced down there. Damien St. Pierre is reporting that Bayou Fighting Championship Boxing and a brawling in Nolens will host BFC Boxing 2, a night of professional boxing on Friday, March 15th at the Mel Ott Center in Gretna, Louisiana. The event is headlined by undefeated Mississippi heavyweight Traverse Bear Barnes. He's 4-0, matching up against Duke the Nuke Sensley, fighting out of New Orleans, who will make his professional debut in the ring. The bout will be the main event of the night and is scheduled for six rounds. Barnes, who represents a New Orleans boxing club, holds a 4-0 record, has three knockouts to his credit, but has not fought since a decision victory over Kenan Hickman in January 2022. Although Sensley is making his pro boxing debut, he's no stranger to combat sports, as he posts an unbeaten record in the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship organization that has multiple mixed martial bouts under his belt. Wow, good for him. Keep track of that particular story, won't we? In the co-feature of the night, New Orleans fan favorite Jacob Yamazato, 2-0, will put on his unbeaten record on the line against debuting William Hudson. Both Yamazato's bouts have ended in the opening round via knockout. Hard-hitting and undefeated Deron Isom, 4-0 of New Orleans, is also scheduled to be in action. Covington, Louisiana's Victor Pardis, 1-0, is slated to take the ring for the first time since 2022. He's going to face Justice Len Perez, who will be making his professional boxing debut. So, this falls under the category of you heard it here first. A lot of these names you've probably not heard of, but it's good to see boxing down in Louisiana. And let's see if we can find some results when they come into our next week. Anyway, let's have a look here over Sarajevo. Sarajevo is to host the Women's World Boxing Championships in 2025. Back on March 3rd, the International Boxing Association, that's the IBA, met in Sochi, Russia, to gather all the members of the board of directors and to enjoy a new edition of the Champions Night. World titles were on the line and the development of young boxers could be followed. It was confirmed while there that Sarajevo will host the Women's World Boxing Championships at the board meeting. The president of the Serbian Boxing Federation spoke about the arguments and possibilities for Belgrade to host the event. He also expressed his wish to see a brilliant edition of the IBA Women's World Boxing Championships in Belgrade in 2025. The city was already a spotlight in 2021 when it hosted the 2021 edition of the IBA Men's World Boxing Championships. So the presentation was followed by a vote. The board of directors unanimously approved the bid to host a competition. And as a result, it's already known a year in advance where the talents will be competing for the world title in women's boxing. Now, to add icing on the cake to that particular story, the IBA has also abolished headgear in women's boxing. So the new rule was approved at the recent executive board meeting in Sochi, and it will come into effect in June 2024, as is already the case in men's boxing. This will equalize conditions, and there will be a three-month transition period. So at this meeting, the board of directors took the opportunity to make joint decisions, and one of them was to abolish headgear. So for the first time, there will be a transitional period to see how all parties, boxers, coaches, trainers, adapt to the new rules. And the result will be a level playing field with men's boxing where headgear is not required. This is part of the latest changes to the IBA technical and competition rules. These include changes to the nationality and eligibility of boxers. The headgear rule has undergone several changes over the past few decades. In 1982, for the 1984 Olympic Games, the rule was approved that boxers must wear headguards. However, in 2016, the International Olympic Committee, the IOC, decided to abolish headgear in the men's categories. However, headgear will continue to be used in women's and youth categories. After several high-profile studies, experts agreed that serious impact injuries were occurring in areas not protected by a headguard. As a result, the rule was lifted for male boxers in 2016, and the IBA has now voted to approve the removal of headgear in women's boxing. The IBA also voted to welcome Brazilian Boxing Confederation as a new provisional member for March 2024. The Czech Boxing Federation recently joined the IBA as well. The IBA continues to expand and reach the maximum number of national federations. They are, of course, competing with the World Boxing Organization, who is also holding tournaments, one going on right now in Italy, to find those competitors who will be competing at the Olympics in Paris this year. Speaking of competing, it has been confirmed that Canelo Alvarez will be fighting on May 4th after rejoining PBC. He had left PBC, rumored to be rejoining a Matchroom, but that apparently is not happening. It's now been reported by Dan Raphael that Canelo has, shall we say, headed back to PBC. And he's going to be going back into the ring May 4th to fight Jaime Munguia, as we have reported before, which will be broadcast on Amazon Prime. Other rumors include Terrence Crawford, maybe going up against Chris Eubank Jr. in the middleweight division. Be a good fight. Now, I had mentioned a boxing tournament going on right now. Yes, there's the World Championships being held in Busto, Italy. And there we see, so it's already underway. It's going on right now. This is a World Boxing Qualification Tournament for the Paris 2024 Olympics. There are, let's have a look here. The first World Olympic Boxing Qualification Tournament is hosting over 590 boxers and will offer a total of 49 quotas, including 28 for men and 21 for women at the 2024 Paris Olympics. The weight divisions will have four quotas on offer, except for the women's 57 kilogram, where they have two quotas, and women's 60 kilogram, three quotas. Women's boxers, Nikhat Zarin, Prita Pawa, Parveen Huda, and Lavlina Bagain obtained the quotas for India at the Asian Games last year. Each country can obtain a maximum of one quota per weight category for the Paris Olympics. And all those fighters I mentioned, four fighters, are all in different weight categories. So, you know, with the gauntlet being laid, and there's a lot of activity for boxers who are looking to take part in the Paris Olympics. That's a flyback around the world over to Saudi Arabia to conclude this edition here on Talk and Fight. We see that the three big names have long ruled at the heavyweight division, Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua, Deontay Wilder, aren't all ruling it anymore. Fury's last big man standing, and even his footing seems less steady of late, according to BoxingScene.com. This is a division in transition, as we've been reporting for over a year now. And there are two overlapping Games of Thrones going on. In one, several heavyweights, current and former title holders, current and former contenders, and even a mixed martial artist with little experience fighting under the Marquis of Queensbury rules are jockeying for the throne, facing each other in battle to determine who is most dominant and deserving. In the other, those heavyweight fights are being made as a result of the maneuverings of an actual kingdom, which has entered the sport not so much to promote the sweet science, but rather to promote itself. This, by the way, is written by David Greisman out of, as I said, BoxingScene.com. So he's pretty vocal about this. So let's go. Saudi Arabia is spending huge sums on boxing and several other sports, sums that are not traditional business investments in which the end goal is to make money from the product. Rather, between what analysts believe and what Saudi pawnbrokers themselves say, this is a combination of sports washing to distract from Saudi Arabia's human rights record, part of an effort to bring more tourism and investment into the country, and also part of an emphasis on colossal entertainment events that can bring enjoyment and increase pride among its citizens. According to BoxRec.com, Friday's fight between Anthony Joshua and Francis Ngannou in Riyadh will be the eighth pro boxing show in the country, all taking place since 2018. It began with Callum Smith's win over George Groves, and it continues with Amir Khan against Billy Dib, the rematch between Joshua and Andrew Ruiz Jr., the rematch between Alexander Usyk and Joshua, and a card featuring the sideshow that was Jake Paul and Tommy Fury, plus a legitimate cruiserweight title fight between Badou Jack and Ilunga Makabu. It has also brought us to the veritable smorgasbord of heavyweight fights. When Fury fought last October against Ngannou, the MMA star who left the UFC as a standing champion to search for better money, six of the seven bouts on that card involved boxing's marquee division. December's event was headlined by Joshua against Otto Wallen and Wilder against Joseph Parker. Those were two of the six heavyweight matches on the eight-fight card. The other two bouts involved boxing's top cruiserweight, Jai Oppitea, who dropped his sanctioning body belt because of the amount of money this Saudi card would pay him, winning in one round. And Dimitri Bivol, the number two light heavyweight, defending his title via shutout. Given both the quality of the names involved and the quantity of fights included, this was a massive span for a stacked show, and the next two were similarly eventful. So when Joshua faces Ngannou, it'll be the main event of a 10-fight card, streaming on DAZN and pay-per-view.com. The other matches include four more heavyweight fights, most notably Joseph Parker and Zhao Zhang, plus a 154-pound title fight between Magomed Kurbanov and Israel Madrimov, and a featherweight title fight featuring Ray Vargas against Nick Ball. And then on May 18th, the headliner will be Tyson Fury against Alexander Usyk for the undisputed heavyweight championship. And that's an eye-popping slate for a period of several months, part of the annual Riyadh Season Festival that began in 2019 and runs from October through to March. Fury versus Usyk was originally scheduled for February, but was postponed when Fury suffered that rather nasty cut above his eye in training camp. All this money doesn't and shouldn't erase any of the reasons that Saudi Arabia is criticized, including the state-sanctioned abduction and murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi in Turkey, and the mistreatment of critics, dissidents, and migrant workers, as outlined by Amnesty International. These fights aren't being made solely for a love of the sport or to move the heavyweight division forward. It's a Game of Thrones outside of boxing that has overlapped with or outright driven the Game of Thrones within the squared circle. It has expedited the heavyweights towards an eventual conclusion, whether that is complete changing of the guard or a conclusive reaffirmation of control. This has been a long time coming, with a premise of plenty of promise along the way, but not enough progress. The Vladimir Klitschko era effectively ended more than 8 years ago. In late 2015, when Fury outboxed and dethroned the longtime champ, Fury's next appearance wouldn't come until 2018, more than 2.5 years later. And he lost all three of his world titles while sidelined due to a combination of mental health struggles, addiction, and suspicions of performance-enhancing drug use. During that period, Joshua and Wilder moved to the forefront. Joshua picked up a world title in 2016, added another against Klitschko when the former champ made a brave last stand in 2017, and grabbed a third with a victory over Parker in 2018. Wilder, who had held the fourth sanctioning body belt since 2015, put together a run of seven straight successful defenses, won by knockout, culminating with a back-and-forth battle with Luis Ortiz in 2018. Fury came back, and depending on your perspective, was either the claimant to the throne due to his lineage, or was returning to restake that claim. Joshua and Wilder each had their own cases to make. The only way to truly settle things would be in the ring. There have been only three fights with a combination of those three potential kings, and each featured Fury and Wilder. And all three Fury-Wilder fights were entertaining for different reasons, which we've all seen and talked about previously. Enter Robert Hellenius, who was clobbered by Wilder. Joshua suffered his losses against Ruiz, dispatched Pulev. My goodness, this is a long article, boxing fans. We don't have all day. All of which brings us to Friday night's fights at the Kingdom Arena in Riyadh. Parker will be making his third straight appearance in the country and has resuscitated his career following the title loss to Joshua in their 2018 unification fight, a decision defeat against Dillian White 4 months later, who, by the way, is getting back in the ring, and getting knocked out by Joe Joyce in 2022. Parker faces Yang Zhang, who did what Parker couldn't do, knocking out Joyce twice last year. Zhang is 40 years old, but recently told Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated that he thinks he has several years left in the sport. You'll need that to be the case to make the most out of any potential opportunity in the division. The winner of the Parker-Zhang fight will have earned a shot at the Fury-Usyk winner, given that there may be two Fury-Usyk fights, and that Fury or Usyk meeting the Joshua Ngannou winner afterward is the biggest box office attraction in the wings. It's no wonder that Zhang's team is eyeing a fight in his home country of China. He represents China while winning silver in the 2008 Olympics and lost to Joshua in the 2012 games, by the way. And he's only four pro fights there, none since 2018, and definitely none since he became a true contender. These past few years have clearly shaken things up in the heavyweight division. There's so much that needs to be shaking out. And we talked about this with Christian von Sponeck over in the UK about 18 months ago. Please go to Talk and Fight, look up that using search engines, pretty easy to find. I had some great discussions with Christian about all the heavyweight shakeups that need to take place. We were talking about a clogged heavyweight division back then. We're still talking about it now, but it looks like, and it's taken a long time, but it looks like money has shaken things up courtesy of the Saudis. But why they're in the game, this particular writer, David Griezmann, certainly has his opinion. It's a sports washing. He's not being shy about it. But at the end of the day, it's been good for boxing. It's promoted boxing to a lot of new fans around the world, integrating a lot of different characters, not necessarily based on their rankings, but based on their popularity, to be frank. Anyway, sports fans, boxing fans around the world, thank you very much for joining me here on Talk and Fight. Appreciate it. Remember to like, share, subscribe, hit that notification bell, and we'll see you later on. At 11 a.m. Eastern Time when I go live on talkandfight.com. Cheers.